Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Every morning, Taryn Armstrong talks Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 7th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Kirsten. How you doing, Kirsten?
I am good. I'm excited that Big Brother is back. I actually was kind of happy to get the break this winter. Like, I miss Celebrity Big Brother, but I liked getting to rest. So we're here. We're firing on most cylinders probably over here. So just excited that Big Brother's back.
Yes. Very excited. And the cast is continuing to deliver two nights in a row.
These people are so messy and it's greatly enjoyable, but they've been keeping them up later than they normally do for Big Brother Canada, which is, I assume, tough for you since you're on the same time zone as them.
Yeah. It's, you know, I really wish that they would sleep longer. They go to bed at like 2:30, 3 a.m. and then they've woken up by 9, 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I don't understand what's wrong with them. Yeah. But it gives us some entertainment at least.
It's not my preferred sleeping period of time.
Yeah, thankfully for me, when they're up till 3, it's only 1 for me, but then when they're up at 9, it's 7. So that's tough.
Mm. All right. Well, I hope that we're live on YouTube.
I'm not seeing the video.
We are on Twitch. It seems like I guess Periscope is probably up. We usually have a few different.
Yeah, the Periscope is live. It looks like, so I'll retweet that.
Okay, yeah, here we go. We're live on YouTube somewhere. I just can't.
Just don't. It's there, but we don't know where.
Here it is. I found it. I found the chat.
Wait, where is it?
There's people in the chat. It's like, you are.
Where's the chat? I'm so confused.
If you go to the robiswebsite.com/watch RHAP live with hyphens in between, that's a great URL.
Then you can find
all the places. That's where I found it. Now I'm going to tweet it out. All right. Huh. Thank you guys for hanging with us here.
It's Saturday. It's the start of the season. We're all having technical problems. It's fine.
Mm. Okay. So we are here. We're going to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Canada 8 live feeds on day 7. Of the feeds.
Yes, day 7. It has been 1 week.
Mm. No, day 2 of the feeds, day 7 of the house, of the game.
Yeah, but also like kind of day 2 of the game because of that week 1 twist.
Fair. Very fair. All right. So let's get into it. There's a lot to talk about. I talked with Puya yesterday about the state of the house and where everything was. Most of that turned out to be pretty accurate, I think. That we still are looking at a group of six mostly who are really in control of the game for the most part. I think some minor alterations, some additional little relationships and alliances should be added to the mix here from what we learned yesterday.
And we have the name for the six-person alliance.
Yes, this six-person alliance, which consists of Sheldon, Brooke, Suzanne, Kyle, Vanessa, and Carol. I believe that is the six that is being referred to. We don't have complete confirmation, but they appear to be named 6 feet under.
So I've got problems with this for two reasons.
Okay.
The first, don't put numbers in your alliance names. We talk about this every year. This isn't new information. I'm disappointed in someone like Sheldon, Vanessa, and Brooke being involved in something that has a number in it. Second of all, 6 feet under is where you go when you die. So maybe don't call your alliance that. It's just my personal thought on the matter.
Well, they put their enemies 6 feet under.
It's dumb and I don't like it.
Also, it's the name of a show. A great show.
Yeah.
One of the greatest, some might say.
I mean, sure. I don't know about that. It's like, it's good.
It's just good. Did you watch the whole show?
No, I definitely didn't. Do you think I'm out here watching full series? I'm always going to fall off before the end of pretty much anything I watch.
I wonder if they're going to be able to keep the name, to be honest. They usually shy away from intellectual property.
Yeah, it's just hard because I don't think anybody owns the rights to the term 6 feet under.
So, you never know.
Yeah, it's true. There could be anything.
What was it? The Diaper Alliance was originally called something else.
Oh God. Yeah, but
they had to change it.
The name Diaper just overtakes any other memory of that. It's such an iconic name. What a great alliance name.
You know, they really tried.
They did that, okay?
Yeah. All right. So let's get started about what happened here yesterday.
Yeah.
Chris talked with many people in the house in the morning. In particular, he talked with Brooke, who did make an attempt at staying off the block here. A little bit of like, you know, some tears or like some almost tears. This did not go anywhere, though. She was talking to a brick wall.
Yeah, well, and I feel like if she had just gone the night before, like she kind of wanted to, but then didn't end up, it probably could have had a little bit of an impact. But today, Chris's whole thing is, no, I'm nominating the people that didn't talk game to me. So you didn't talk game to me. It's fine. I got you. But like, you didn't talk game to me.
Yeah.
He's transforming their minds, making it their fault.
He is. There is like some kind of, I don't know how genuine this is, but some kind of criteria that he's using. He has a tier system.
Yeah, because there's people who tell him, yeah, you've got my vote. And then there's people who just talk game with him. Mm-hmm. And then there's people who didn't do that, you know, and he's just going to nominate the people who didn't do that.
Basically. So he's talking to them. He talks with Maddie. He talks with Kyle a little bit. Some Chris conversations.
What I liked with Kyle is when he's like, I have a super duper master plan.
Yeah, that confused us yesterday.
That's not how people talk.
Right. Like we were doing the update and, you know, we were like, well, so wait, what's going on here? Because I saw that he said he's got this super duper plan, and that he's not sure about how Kyle will respond, but Kyle already knew about the plan. So he said but hold on. I've got a super duper plan. Just wait. And I was like, yeah. Oh my God, has he changed the plan? He hadn't changed the plan. It was the same plan. It was just,
I think
more transformation involved. I don't know.
I think that he is trying to make it seem like more than what it is by talking it up. I think that this is him trying to make it seem like some really big move, that he is a mastermind and he is the greatest of all time and all of those, you know, things that Chris wants to be thought of as.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it refers to the what we'll talk about soon, which is this sort of Min feint, but we'll see. So Chris is going to talk with Angie, really one of the few people that talks game with her. He tells her that there is a plan, and like, don't worry, is a plan. It's a super duper plan. It's going to be great. So we're going to do this. It's a plan. And Angie's like, am I gonna like this plan?
Yeah, I just
you're gonna love it.
I feel like you can't be like, oh yeah, there's a totally a plan and you are totally gonna like it, but I can't tell you what it is right now. Like, that's just not a reassuring thing to hear, and I don't think that that would super work with anybody except for Angie, because nobody else is really talking to her, so she just kind of has to cling to like whatever crumb of game talk she can get. It's like, yes, Angie can have a little game talk as a treat.
Right. And like, honestly, like, she's excited to be talking game, but like, she's pretty nonchalant about talking game, considering the fact that literally nobody else talks game with her. Like, I'd really expect her to be jumping all over this, but it does seem like she is a bit of a passive player here, that even when she is included in game talk with the HOH, who is confiding in her to some degree, she's kind of just like, cool.
I just think that she's kind of backed into that corner. She doesn't really have another option, and I think that if she just acts cool, like, oh yeah, no big deal, people, everyone's talking game to me, like, this isn't new, then it kind of will encourage people to maybe open up to her a little bit more, just because it's like, oh yeah, you know, like, Angie's not freaking out, she's like a calm, stable presence in the house. I don't think it's a bad move for her, but I would like her to be like a tiny bit more active.
Well, so he mentions that he's got some people he wants to work with, you know, people like Sue, Vanessa, you know, Kyle, Jamar, Carol, and then, you know, like, who's the eighth, like Min as a swing, you know. And she's like, Min? No. Chris, you really think you can rely on Min? Excuse me? Why are you saying, like, she really does not like Min? And she's like, really, like, no, this is, that's how could you? And Chris is like, no, I just meant, like, you know, keep an eye on her. I didn't mean like her as one of the people. I just meant because she's such a wild card that, you know, that you gotta watch out, you know, watch the swing.
Yeah, A plus backpedaling from Chris here. She's like, yeah, that's totally not what I meant, actually. I meant this other thing that's completely makes sense.
He does again promise he's not putting her up. He kind of tells her the gist of the plan here, that people are going to still be trying to get him to put her up, but it's not going to happen. He also talks with Vanessa, who comes in, and she's a bit better at this than Angie.
Oh, really?
In terms of expressing excitement. Both Vanessa and Sue very good at just going in and just like feeding Chris's ego, as he's like, all right, we're going to do the plan. And they're just like, oh, you're so wonderful, Chris. Let me give you a hug. Oh, you're just so great at this. I'm so excited.
Which is like a very reasonable response week one when the HOH just is telling you that you're going to be safe.
I mean, it's really working. Chris is getting real full of himself.
I mean, getting? Come on.
So they talk about the plan. So there was something interesting here about Vanessa. I don't really know exactly where her head is at here. But he's like, he's getting so amped up by her because she's like, really like, yes, this is so great. And you should watch this conversation, because it's really just, it's, Chris is so weird. And he starts going like, this is so great. This is so great. Like, we're going to get rid of Michael because he's a threat. But I mean, should we go even further? Should we do Sheldon? Because Sheldon's even more of a threat and I can be Michael all day. Should I do Sheldon? Because I can be Michael all day. Should I do it? And Vanessa's like, I don't know.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. She's like,
she like brought her energy up at the start of the conversation. And then Chris was like, oh, the energy has gone up. I need to take it to galaxy brain levels. And then Vanessa's like, I don't know what's happening, but this is really weird.
Yeah, so I mean, so clearly in Chris's mind, like, there is still this option of Sheldon, and he's still concerned about Sheldon. And Vanessa, I don't know if she was overwhelmed by the enthusiasm, but she really didn't do much to back away from this. Like if this had been Sue or Kyle or really anybody else in this group, I think they all would have immediately been like, no, don't do Sheldon. But Vanessa was a little bit more like, eh, I don't know.
Do you think that this is the way that Chris transforms your brain? He makes you so uncomfortable that you don't know what to do, and then you don't argue with him.
Maybe.
Like, you don't have room for anxiety anymore because you're afraid.
Maybe that was it. Maybe he transformed her brain.
Yeah.
And turned her against Sheldon.
He's a professional, okay? It's definitely a real thing and a real job, okay?
Vanessa's also going to go and have a conversation with Min, where, again, she seems not super preoccupied with keeping Brooke off the block or even taking Brooke down. Again, I don't know if this is deflection from Vanessa's part or if she actually isn't as into the whole Sheldon Brooke thing as maybe Kyle or some of the other people are.
Yeah, and Min is like, no, take Brooke off the block. She's right. A number for me. Like, you absolutely should take Brooke off.
Yeah. They also spend some time getting you know, worked up about Angie and how much they hate her.
Oh, she's so nitpicky, Taryn. She's so critical.
Yeah. And also Maddie. Maddie is the worst.
I mean, yeah. I also... I just like how Vanessa's energy, she just brings it to match whoever she's with, right? Like, I think that's a very good trait for her to be having at this point in the game.
Mm. All right, so Sheldon is finally going to go and have his talk with Chris to make sure that he doesn't get backdoored. Yeah. He comes up. They have a brief conversation with Kyle there, but then Kyle is going to bounce out, and it's just going to be Chris and Sheldon. And Sheldon is like, all right, activate bro mode. Hey, Chris, come on. How's it going? He's really playing on this idea that, like, hey, look, I'm kind of an introvert. You know, it takes me a while to really get comfortable with people and situations. And, you know, I guess he, like, passed out at some point before the feed started, and that was like really, you know, a thing. Well, according to this manipulation of Chris, it was a thing. You know, but now he is so happy that he can feel comfortable with Chris and make this whole thing happen. And like, this is peak Chris crazy eyes. Especially when Kyle was still there, when Kyle was still there, Chris was like looking from Kyle, then over to Sheldon.
Yeah. It's like he's driving and doing a shoulder check, but he's not driving. He's just looking from person to person.
You're more comfortable. Yeah. We're going to do this, right?
Yeah. They're like, we can do this. Yeah. Like, they're like, we can trade competition wins. We can be like the pretty boys, but we don't need a mark. He was just dragged by them. We'll be our own thing. We can just have three. We don't need four.
Mm. Booyah in the chat. Chris's crazy eyes are worse than Winston's ever were.
Winston's would be for like a moment, and then they'd be gone for a little while, and then they would come back. I don't think I've seen Chris take off the crazy eyes and put them away. It's like he's a Mr. Potato Head and he forgot the normal eyes.
Yeah. Winston was like, oh, I mean, whoa. But Kyle is like, Chris is like, oh man, oh boy. It's a lot.
Winston could never.
So Chris is going to tell Sheldon the plan that Brooke and Hira are going to be pawns. Yeah. And Sheldon's just like, oh, perfect. Perfect plan. Perfect pawns. You're a perfect person. It seems to be working here that Chris is being pulled in a little bit.
Yeah, the easiest way to pacify Chris is to just flatter him endlessly. And I think that he truly believes that he is so great that he's never going to doubt it. If somebody is like, Chris, you are God's gift to the world. You are the best player of all time. This is the smartest plan that has ever been planned. Nobody could ever say anything about you. Like, you're the best first HOH ever. And he'll be like, yeah, I am. I am the best ever. Like, he's never going to question that kind of strategy.
Man, Chris, I just feel like, I don't know, when I'm around you, just... my brain sometimes feels like it's being transformed. I don't know if that rings any bells with you, but
that's not even, I don't think it's even possible, but my brain just feels so different around you.
After Sheldon leaves, Chris, is like pumping himself up. He goes up to the camera. Yes. God, I've gone from zero to hero. Running the house. Have I won you over yet, Canada?
He's like, I've got everyone in the house supporting me. And it's like, huh? Most of the time, I would say you should question that if you think you have everyone.
It's almost like you have the power to put people in danger. And so they're supporting you so that you don't do that.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see like next week. I want to see the fallout of this.
Yes. Oh my God. All right. So we then get some more information about the layout of the house here. That's some important information about Sue. Sue had been sort of, you know, involved in a few different things the night before. But we're finally getting a better look at where Sue stands in the game. And, in particular, that means that, she's going to have a conversation with Jamar. And it is revealed that they are also secretly working together. Kind of a final two. They talk about final two, but they also, it's like, Jamar says, my final three is you and Sheldon, which is another one we'll get to. But that, of course, he is implying that his final two, he would choose Sue. Although we do also learn later that he is more loyal to Sheldon than he is to Sue. He tells the cameras that, so we know. But they are working very closely together, and she is a very close ally of his. This is interesting.
Yes, it definitely is. The one thing, though, that I'm having trouble with so far is telling which of these alliances are actually real, because basically these people want to play the game, which is so exciting. So they'll like, it's like, okay, so I'm Brooke. I'm walking into a room. Okay, cool. I see Min, Sue, and I don't know, someone, I was about to say like JL, but he's never in the room with those people. So like, and a third person. And then it's like, okay, you know what, guys? We should totally have a final four. And then they make an alliance so that they can then talk game. So it's like there's so much going on that it's almost like nothing is going on, if that makes sense. It's hard to track what's real.
I mean, that is, I will say, like an issue with the first week, especially in Big Brother Canada, where, you know, in Big Brother US, we start the feeds, you know, the nominations have happened, but then there's like the veto to be played. And so like the week is already kind of half over. But Big Brother Canada starts right at the beginning of the week. And we see the whole thing play out. And it's usually not until the end of the first week or the first vote that you really get a good sense of where the alliances stand, because as we talked about in Survivor, you don't really know where people stand until there's a vote.
It's extra hard this time because they never voted yet.
Exactly.
So nothing has been tested.
Yes. And so, you know, we're giving you the general layout here. But even if we do finally get it perfectly right, and we are able to correctly predict who is actually loyal to who, that could change by the end of the week very easily. And so, that's one of the reasons why the first live feed updates in the first week are generally a little bit less detailed, because there's so much detail. You don't know what's important. You're kind of just trying to get the general picture here as we then hone in the more we know as more things happen. But it is good to know that Sue and Jamar here have a good relationship. They both talk about not wanting to win HOH, that they both feel so comfortable that they want to continue to throw HOHs. Jamar is kind of implying, they talk about Sheldon a lot. They both love him. They both think he's great. He's loyal to them. Jamar is kind of implying that he feels that Sheldon is more loyal to Brooke than to him. And that, so he's kind of saying like, okay, well, you know, me and you, Jamar and Sue, we're kind of like Sheldon and Brooke. Like, they're a pair, we're a pair. I think the four of us together is a really good foursome. Now, we know from his camera talk later that he's most loyal to Sheldon, which means this is kind of a play to get this foursome together when secretly he feels him and Sheldon will have the advantage there, right? But this is what he's selling to Sue. And of course, Sue also is going to feel like she is the one that is closer to Sheldon, because she's going to talk to him later and she has this six feet under alliance with him. And so it's two people who are like, yeah, Sheldon's great, but we're most loyal to each other, but secretly both more loyal to Sheldon.
Exactly. Two people who believe that they are playing each other, and it is yet to be seen who will actually get to play whom. And one thing they said in this conversation that really bothered me is when they were talking about Kira and Brooke, and they say that they are coasters, not floaters. Mm-hmm. And hello, everyone. It's been 2 days since the game actually like started. I don't think you could say anybody is either of those things yet.
I don't think wasn't it that like Jamar was saying, hey, guys, I'm throwing HOHs on purpose. So I am not a floater. I'm coasting. Which was like, I think you mixed those up.
Yep. It's so, nobody knows what they mean. And it's so annoying. And then in the ET Canada special, when they called the floaters the innocent bystander, they just contributed to this pattern of not knowing the difference between coasters and floaters. It's so annoying.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, this is just going to always be a problem. It's never going to get fixed because the show is never going to get on board with the correct terminology.
I'm annoyed. I'm very annoyed.
All right. Well, Sue is going to, she's going to suggest she says that foursome's great. How about I one up you here? We add Kyle and Vanessa. We make a six. She's basically pitching 6 feet under with Jamar instead of Carol. And Jamar's like, cool. And, you know, Carol and Angie, I feel bad for them, though. So he's like, well, they're also with us, you know, like just but a little bit lesser. Right. We got layers. Yeah. It's an onion. And so she also tells Jamar about Chris's plan, that it's going to be Brooke and Hira. And then Michael is going to be backdoored. She says that Chris listens to her. She feels like she's Chris's number one, which is actually, I guess, kind of good on Chris, right? Like he's doing well, and she actually likes that she feels she has some control over him and wants to keep him around a little bit longer, which, you know,
yeah, good for him.
Chris's enthusiasm can be infectious sometimes, I guess.
I would like to see how she talks about him after he's not HOH anymore, though. That's like going to be the major test.
Well, Sheldon is later going to join them briefly and talk about how he hates this week, and that he's like, I can't deal with this, like, not having one of us in power thing, because this is not okay. I don't like that I have to be doing all this work to stay off the flock. So I have a feeling Sheldon is not going to want Chris in the game for too much longer. Yeah. So anyway, Continuing with the Jamar and Sue conversation, yeah. Jamar says that those four, Michael, JL, Maddie, and Ree, have been trying to reel him in, but clearly he needs to back away from that.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, they're a completely secret alliance that nobody knows about. Obviously, they just hang out alone all day long and don't talk to other people.
Sue mentions that she really wants Brooke to be the one to come down. Jamar seemed to prefer Hira to be the one to come down. Jamar really likes Hira, but he says fine about Brooke being the one to come down. Jamar also mentions that there at one point in time was a guys alliance that consisted of Michael, JL, himself, and Sheldon. I think they said he called themselves like the young boys or something. I don't know, the young bros. I don't know, something weird.
Yeah,
like that.
I blocked it out because I was traumatized.
But that JL and Michael got too preoccupied with the girls,
yeah.
And became that whole foursome thing.
One thing that I thought was really funny earlier in the day, I think it was Maddie and John Luke were in a room, and they're like, "Yeah, we'll talk to Chris today. Yeah, we'll definitely talk to Chris today." And it's like, oh my God. Yeah, of course you're going to talk to Chris today. You should be talking to Chris every day. Yeah. Your house, there's only 15 of you.
Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. JL at one point is going to tell Chris, like, yeah, bro, like, you know, like, I would have come and talked to you last night, but I, you know, think we're just really close, and so I didn't think I needed to, you know?
I have no words. I just... What?
Minley and Chris are going to have a conversation. Min is going to continue to try to prevent Chris from putting Brooke up on the block, saying that, yeah. But what happens if one of those four wins the veto? They're not going to use it. And then it's Brooke or Hira that goes home. That's terrible. We don't send one of them home. But Chris says, no, but they're not going to know. They're not going to know. You're not going to know. You're not going to say anything, are you? Are you going to say anything? Min's like, no, I'm not going to say anything. Why are you freaking out? Are you going to say something? No, I'm not planning on saying any. I'm not going to say anything. Chris, I don't get paranoid. I'm not going to say anything. You're the one that's paranoid right now. No, I'm not paranoid. I was just wondering. He's like, well, they all want you gone. They all want you gone. That's what you need to worry about. Okay. So what you're saying is that you're going to tell them that I'm the back door. And so they'll use the veto. And he's like, exactly.
This is why you can't question Chris. You have to just go with him.
Genius.
It's a super duper plan. What could go wrong?
Super duper.
What could go wrong?
So Chris is going to call JL and Michael in, and he's going to inform them about the plan. It's like, hey, bros, we're bros, and I've got tiers, and you're on one of the tiers, and you know what we're gonna do, Brooke and Hira as pawns, And then we're going to backdoor Min. She's the most dangerous competitor. She's the most threatening one to us. We need her gone. And JL and Michael are like, yes.
That's
love
so
it.
Good. That's exactly what we want.
Yeah. They go, they fill Rhee in, and they're like,
so what's going to happen is that he's going to put Min, he's going to backdoor Min. You know, like, you know what I mean, bro? Like, it's such a smart plan. He's such a smart guy. I didn't even realize.
The John Luke voice is so much. haven't we had to listen to it enough, Darren? I think it's easily your best impression of all time. Like, far and away.
they're very excited about this Min backdoor plan. Oh, yeah. And so Maddie ends up walking in, and they're like, oh, we gotta do the thing. And so they've got a whole new choreography. This is how much time and effort they've been putting into their choreography and not actually socializing with the rest of the house.
Yeah.
They do the cross thing down below, and then they do like a spin, like, or I'll do, and then, wow. And then like the girls go, and the, you know, the evictors assemble.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. That they are spending their time choreographing what they're going to do in the diary room.
Look, Kirsten, you got to be prepared. When they're the final four and they haven't choreographed this whole thing and practiced it for 11 weeks, then they're going to look like fools.
I mean, until it has a musical number, I'm not invested in it. Like, is this really real? Is this real life? I don't know. I need them to sing about it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Sue is going to talk with Shell a little bit after her conversation with Jamar. They both talk about really liking Jamar. And when Sue was proposing to Jamar that they work with the six minus Carol, she was being serious. They both talk about the possibility of, like, what if we just kind of, like, replaced Carol with Jamar.
Just a swap out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we could probably use the same name, right? Like, they didn't say this.
I truly wish they wouldn't.
It seems that Carol, while included in a couple of alliances, is not much of a socializer and doesn't really contribute a lot according to how her allies see her. And so they don't really see her as much of an asset. And so they kind of want to relegate her to an outer layer kind of like pawn number.
Yeah. So like basically they have tiers. And Carol's on a lower tier.
Basically. Yeah.
It works for everything.
Yeah. Brooke is going to talk with Kyle for a very long time because she is still upset about being put on the block. And so Kyle spends like, I don't know, it felt like hours just like, you know, comforting.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And one thing from this that I thought was notable is Brooke is so mad because she feels like logic doesn't work on Chris, which is right. Flattery works on Chris. So how about stop being upset that logic doesn't work and then go use something other than logic?
Yeah. You got to climb the tiers.
Yeah, it's, you know. Maybe there's a glass ceiling. I don't know, but you got to just claw your way to the top.
Min and Sue are going to talk a little bit. They talk about their plans. Min wants to go after Maddie. This is really starting to boil up here. There was apparently some kind of incident where Maddie said that, or sorry, that where Min said that Maddie was catty because they were rhyming her name.
Yes, because they were doing that Big Brother Canada thing where people do freestyle raps all the time, because that's a thing that anybody who plans to play Big Brother should be practicing is their freestyle rap skills. And Maddie said, my name is Maddie and I'm so fatty, I think she said. And then Min was like, no, catty. And Maddie is very upset about this.
Yeah, well, because Min said this. It, not laughing, very serious. No, yes. Catty. And other people laughed, but Min did not. And then Jamar was, you know, up in their business, like instigating, making it worse. Then she saw that Maddie went over to Kyle and they laughed. And so Min had to go confront Kyle about it. And Kyle was like, well, what am I going to do? She came up to me. I can't tell her to F off. Right. But I'm with you, of course. And so then Min is going to go and complain to Sue about it and talk about how she wants to go after Maddie. And she's also concerned with Sue about Sue's relationship with Jamar. And she says, you're not working with Jamar, right? You don't trust Jamar, right? And Sue's like, I mean, not really.
I don't trust Jamar. What are you talking about? No. I've never talked to Jamar in my life.
I mean, there's nothing going on there. She's like, well, good, because you shouldn't, because you can't trust him. He's not trustworthy. I was like, well, what did he do? Well, he told Maddie and Angie, he asked me who I would put up on the block, and I said Angie, and I'd target Maddie, and then he immediately went and told them about it, and that's why I'm so obsessed. So that's why they're so obsessed with me, and they want me gone, is because of that. And so he's so bad. You can't trust him. Do not work with Jamar.
Yeah, do not talk to him. He's blacklisted.
Yeah, and Sue's like, wow, thank you for telling me this. Definitely gonna listen to you.
Yeah, just
for
like
sure.
I feel like that one reminds me of Anna Kendrick and Pitch Perfect. Which is not a bad thing. It's there a good thing.
After Min leaves this conversation, Sue goes to the camera. She says, keep your friends close, your enemies closer. That's what that one's about.
Sue makes so many comments throughout the day that make me so happy. Like earlier in the day, after talking to like Chris and everyone about the larger plan, she's just like, this shit's gonna blow up.
Well, she said the same thing in this camera talk, where she says, this is going to explode. I'm at the center of 27 alliances. I've got, and this is when we find out about the 6 feet under name. So I've got the six feet under. That's who I'm loyal to. The tanks, I got, you know, the Hira thing, which is her, Sheldon, Brooke, and Hira. Tanks was obviously Min, her, Vanessa, and Chris. We got Jammers, Jamar. So they call him Jam or Jammers or Jamar.
Jammers? Jammers has the same amount of syllables as Jamar.
Not only the same amount of syllables, but more letters.
I can't explain it.
Yeah. Not cool. If we're going to shorten, you got fewer letters.
I mean, I think it's nicknames come from all kinds of places. They're not necessarily always a short form.
Yeah, but Jammers is definitely meant to be a short, because it's basically they went from Jamar to Jam and then from Jam to Jammers.
It's almost like it's like you get a pet and you name your pet. But then half the time when you're talking about your pet, you don't use their real name. Like, do you know what I mean? Do you ever do that? Where
like
you're,
how I like, call my kitten, kitten.
Yeah. No, not a kitten anymore. Not adult a cat. It's like, because my cat is Vetus. And then when I say Vetus, people are like, Vetus? What did you just say? And then that developed into Beater, which developed into Peter, which developed into Peter Parker. So sometimes I'm like, hey, wow. Spider-Man. Hey, Spider-Man. It's just how it happens.
That's
like,
a truly
change.
Horrific series of events.
I mean, it took place over years. I don't really call him Spider-Man as much anymore, but it used to happen.
All right. Well, she's also, so she's got the jam thing. She's also got, she said, Carol and Angie. I haven't really seen much of this. I don't know if those are individual things, but perhaps there is some sort of Carol, Angie, Sue, maybe some more people involved. Carol has mentioned that she, that Angie does talk game with her. So it does seem like they have reeled Angie in to some corner of this 6 feet under alliance.
Yeah, and it's, again, the kind of thing where she, like, Angie just has to kind of take it and go with it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see how real that is next week.
So, Min is not content. Nobody is holding her back. And so she's not content with this just sort of bad energy floating around. She's going to go and talk to Maddie about the whole situation. Yeah. She wants to, in the have-not room has been revealed. They're in, like, a meadow.
It's a swamp.
A swamp meadow.
Well, it's supposed to be a swamp, but it's actually just like a very pretty room. I really like when people hang out in there. Like, you can always tell who's a person and what the room is, which is nice. I feel like Melissa will be pro have not room. And then it's just like a very peaceful place. Like, I feel like if I were in there, that's where I would want to hang out because it would seem like you're outside.
Yeah. So they're both in there, like, just kind of sprawled out on the meadow. But like, and having this conversation, which has the tone of an apology, clear the air kind of conversation, but the content of it is like, we're ripping each other apart right now.
Yeah, pretty much. And so it starts, and Min is like, I saw you whispering about me. Like, I saw that happen. I was just joking when I called you Caddy. I didn't mean it.
I just want to make it clear that it was not my intention to hurt you, and it was just a joke, and I'm really sorry if you misinterpreted in the way that you did. And Maddie's like, are you trying to apologize? Is that what's happening? Because I mean, you say it was a joke, but you didn't laugh. So it didn't feel like a joke.
Like, Maddie keeps saying, like, why do you take all these jabs at me? Why are you bullying me?
Well, I believe Min was, I think Min was the first one to bring up bullying. I believe Min started it by saying, I am not trying to bully you. I am not planning on bullying you.
Yeah, I think she was like, you took it the wrong way. You took it personally. I am not bullying you.
Yeah.
And then, which I just love so much. Like, it's not my intention to bully you, but like, with the implication that I absolutely will bully you if I actually have to.
Look, all I did was call you Caddy with a straight face in front of an entire room, not tell you it was a joke, not laugh. And then now I'm coming to you and saying, look, it was a joke. And I am, if you interpreted it in a way that it hurt your feelings, then that's on you, because I am not bullying you. You are basically bullying yourself, if you think about it.
And then, like, just to clarify, as like an aside, making one offhanded comment to someone is not bullying them. Bullying implies like a pattern of behavior,
which Maddie is claiming exists.
But like, I don't know. I feel like we haven't really seen anybody else like lay it out in that way. So I'm not really on board with the bully word getting thrown around yet, except for in the way that it's hilarious that Min is like, I'm not trying to bully you.
Yeah. And so Maddie is what, I mean, you were doing that. And so Min says, well, I didn't laugh because I was uncomfortable. It was a joke, but like, I couldn't say it was a joke because Jamar was like, just the environment, right? Jamar was there instigating, and I just didn't feel comfortable saying it was a joke at that point. But so now I'm here telling you it was a joke, and I did not intend to offend you, Maddie.
Maddie's like, why didn't you just say you were joking then?
Right. And that was the explanation. And so Maddie's like, I just don't, like, I mean, you told us day one that you're here for the drama and like the negativity and that you love this stuff. So like, why would I think that you're not doing this in a negative way? And Min's just like, I mean, I don't know.
It's just like, oh my God. Min's like,
I don't know. Maybe you're just in a bad mood. I mean, you are PMSing. So maybe that's the problem. And Maddie was like, excuse me?
Which is like, yeah, definitely not what Min should have said in the moment. However, earlier in the day, Maddie was complaining a lot about being on swap and PMSing at the same time, which I think is like a fair thing for her to say. But then in an argument, it's really rude for someone else to throw it back at you. But then Maddie's like, Min, you just have like resting bitch face.
Yeah.
It's like, if it's resting bitch face, you probably shouldn't be too concerned about it because that's their face all of the time. If she had like active bitch face, then be concerned.
Right.
That's just her face. How can you just be mad at her face?
Yeah. So Min is, here's the thing about Min's like intention with this conversation. Min really thought that she could start this conversation and that it really would clear the air. And somehow after this conversation, she thinks she succeeded. But she really just feels like, I don't understand what's happening here, Maddie. I'm telling you that I'm sorry that you interpreted it that way. Like, what am I doing here? We're just talking in circles. Why aren't you accepting my apology? And Maddie's like, wait, can we just make it clear? You're not apologizing for the comment. You're apologizing that I interpreted it that way. And Min is like, yes. And it's like, Maddie's like, okay. That we're good then. I mean, I hear you. And they end the conversation and Min goes off to Kyle and she's like, I think that went well. I think we cleared the air. And Maddie goes off and says, that was awful.
She's like, I can't even believe it. I fixed her eyelashes so that she wouldn't look like a clown.
Yes.
And then she treats me like this.
Maddie gets considerably more feisty after the conversation.
Maddie has like big time BB Can 5 Jackie energy. I'm just waiting for her to be like, oh, I'm shaking. Do you see this? I'm waiting for it.
Maddie's like, and I told her that she has resting bitch face.
Wow, what an insult.
And like the Michael and JL are just like trying to support her with every like conversation. And JL was like, she said that to you? And Maddie was like, no, I said that to her. And he was like, oh, well, yeah.
This woman told us that she has an inner Ika. And I want to know, where is that?
I mean, this is a start.
No, that's there are, as you may or may not know, Taryn, there are tiers.
Oh, yes.
And she's not to the Ika tier, okay?
And well, like I said, meanwhile, Min is relaying this conversation to Kyle, like, reasonably, like, yeah, I think I got my point across. I think we did okay there. Still going after each other. We're not going to be best friends, but, you know. We cleared the air. She's also, though, when she's talking to Kyle, she's now getting a little bit concerned. After this conversation, especially, she's like, wait, but hold on. Like, this whole thing, right? Like, this whole tell them that it's me thing. It's not like the real thing, right? Like, it's not going to actually be me that gets backdoored, right? And he's like, no, absolutely not. Definitely not. Don't think that. Don't get paranoid. She's like, okay. But it's not me, though, right?
Yeah, and I actually was surprised that it took her this long to come to that conclusion, because I feel like when someone tells you that you're the decoy plan, you should always be at least a little bit concerned.
Well, initially she was very proud of this idea, and yeah, she said that it was her idea.
Exactly, which is why it's just so confusing to me the whole way, because the minute it came up, she should have been like, maybe we should say someone else. Like, you know, it just was weird that she was so proud of it and that it took all day for her to be like, wait, but am I the plant? Like, you know, like it just took so long. It was weird.
Yeah. Yeah. It's she's not going to feel. I mean, she eventually is like, okay, Kyle, I believe you. But she is going to be talking to Sheldon later. She's going to be talking to Jamar. Like, she is concerned that she is the person that's going to be taking the hit here. Was not overly comforted by anybody throughout the day. Shell is going to talk with Chris. They call him Sheldon. They call him Shell or Shells or Shelly. So I might start calling him Shell. He talks with Chris some more, definitely is not, you know, just having a one conversation and then assuming he's good. He's really starting to get to know Chris. He asks him about his job and his past, and Chris talks about his anxiety and how he was hospitalized and how, you know, brain transforming changed his life and all that.
It's Chris talking about his job is peak comedy to me. Because the way he talks about it is like, yeah, I have a private practice and I help people. And he talks like he has, like, at minimum, a master's degree in, like, counseling or something along those lines. But then when you look at his website and his YouTube videos, that isn't how it seems. So I just love, like, when they showed it in the episode, when he's like, yeah, I just, like, I have a practice and I love to help people. That's what I do. I was like, is he trying to claim that he's a psychologist? Because I don't think that that's what he is. And it's very entertaining to me.
Yeah, well, I think he's also, like, he is the kind of guy that, like, he will talk about it like it's a private practice. We do like some counseling stuff. And then he'll say, oh, just go watch the YouTube video. That'll make sense of it.
I feel like he's being like, yeah, I have a private practice. I have a whole building. I have a whole office space. I don't think he has an office space.
I mean, he's got that little space in the video.
That could be anywhere.
Well, sure.
Is he leasing a workspace while he's in the Big Brother Canada house? That doesn't make a lot of sense.
Maybe he's got other people to, you know, brain transform for him in the meantime.
I would like to see their LinkedIn profiles. Okay.
All right. Brooke and Sue are going to talk about boys a bit.
They talk about who's hot.
Who's the hottest. Who's
good. They come to the conclusion that Sheldon is the hottest.
Sheldon is definitely the hottest.
Is, I think, true. Yeah.
That's the consensus that I've seen has been reached.
I think that's a fact.
It's like his face is just so symmetrical.
Yeah. I mean, that's what makes people good looking.
There you go. Sue asks Brooke, would you ever go for it? You know, if you had the opportunity. And Brooke's like, well, I'm not his type. I mean, I'm me and he's him. And, Sue's like, but if you had the opportunity, I mean, if you were, Brooke's like, I don't think so. I mean, I'm just not in that mindset in here. You know what I mean?
Brooke's like, I don't know how to flirt.
Yeah. But I did, you definitely got the sense that, like, theoretically, this is something that could happen, but that Brooke is definitely, I think, also trying to be like, but it's not, so don't start linking us like we're a showmance or anything.
Yeah, I think that she's trying to just shut down that talk immediately with whatever tactic it takes.
Yeah, like, I'm not his type. He wouldn't even go for it anyway. Like, so it's like, it's not even, and I wouldn't even want to, cause I'm not in that mode. Don't start thinking that way.
Yeah. It's not even an option. Okay. Yeah.
but notably she doesn't just say absolutely not. Even though she is trying to shut it down.
I feel like it would just be too obvious if that was how she reacted, being like, oh, you know, absolutely not. Like, it just, because it is clear that there are, like, some vibes maybe there, that it would just seem really fake if she was like, no, don't like him at all. I feel like that would be more suspicious, actually.
Really?
Because then it would be like, oh my God, Brooke and Sheldon have a secret showmance? Did you know that? They have a secret showmance. They're so, like, she denied it, but it was so obvious that it's a real thing.
I don't know. Personally, I'm much more suspicious of somebody who won't just say no than somebody who is like, no.
Well, I feel like I don't think she would have been able to say no in an actual convincing way. So I think she'd been like, no, never. That would never happen. And then it's like, oh my God, it's already happened. What? The secret showmance.
All right. So nominations do eventually happen. Brooke and Hira go up on the block. Hira was really just not ever really fully informed about this. And so he is not pleased.
Yeah, and he's a very weird conversation with Chris about it.
I mean, what do you expect?
You're right. That is exactly what you should expect. But he basically just, I think he plays it pretty well with Chris being like, yeah, I had a feeling and like, I get it. We have to like play it off. You said I'm safe, so I'm just going to believe you. Like, once you've already been nominated, what else is he supposed to say?
Yeah, Hira, I think, mostly understands that there is a backdoor plan in play, but that if it doesn't go through, he's probably the one in danger because Brooke was given a heads up and he was not. And so that's not something that he enjoys. He's also like trying to, like, he's being told, like, look, you're just like a nice guy. You're not like getting involved in a lot of game talk. You're not lying to people or anything. So you're an easy pawn to put up. And so he's trying to be more like, well, now I'm serious, Hira, and I'm going to, you know, kill the competitions and, you know, you can't stop me.
He's like,
he's too nice. It doesn't work.
He's like, I'm a free agent. Use me.
Yeah.
But it just, he's so nice. I really like Hira.
I do too. But like our concerns with him preseason are like exactly what's happening here with Hira. So he's just not playing hard enough. He went in saying, I don't want to lie. I don't want to play that kind of game. I want to play an honest game. And we're seeing the immediate results of that here as he is in some serious danger.
100%.
Yeah. So Jamar is going to have a conversation with Michael. And Michael has been slowly getting a little more suspicious as the day has progressed. One thing in particular that worried him was that I think at some point, I don't think we saw this on the feeds, it might have been around the time the nominations happened, that Hira came up to him and he was like, he mentioned the four. And this turns later into like that Hira asked if he could join the four. But I don't know if that was really an accurate depiction of what happened. He mentioned the four, and Michael to Hira was like, oh, what four? There's what? I don't know for. As this gets retold throughout the house, it becomes a joke because it's like, Michael said, what for? Do they not know that we know? Like, everybody knows. They don't know that everybody knows.
Yeah, they don't know that we know. Okay. So we're just waiting for them to figure that out. And then they'll be like, but they don't know that we know that they know. Okay. Mm-hmm. All I can think of right now is Hira going, please, sir, can I join the four? I can't get it out of my head.
Yes. So, you know, Michael has been talking with Maddie a bit and expressing some concerns. And Maddie is sometimes concerned as well. And Maddie is starting to think maybe we shouldn't use the veto to be safe. And Michael's like, maybe that's a right call. He's talking to Jamar. He's saying he doesn't fully trust what Chris is doing right now. And he even mentions to Jamar, you know, I kind of thought Shelly was with us, but lately, you know, he's been hanging out with other people, right? Which obviously, you know, Sheldon only has one body, right? And he can only spend time with one group of people, and with Chris as HOH, he's having to do that. And so it's concerning Michael, and because it used to be that he was hanging out with Michael and that crew, and that was what got Sheldon in trouble with Chris in the first place.
Well, to the four, being an alliance means we all hang out and we don't hang out with other people. That's loyalty. That's an alliance. That is how you play the game. Whereas Sheldon recognizes there's only 15 of us. And I need to talk to everybody to cover myself on as many sides as possible. And the four is like, whoa, 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 whoa. What's this guy doing? Talking to other people? That's not okay. That's not how you play the game.
There are a couple of things I was reminded of with the Sheldon situation. First is with Chris being so like hung up on Sheldon, like, I really want to do the Sheldon thing. I think he's the biggest threat. But then literally everybody telling him, no, don't do that. That's a bad idea. I'm brought back to Big Brother 14 when Frank was HOH and he was like, I got to get Dan out. You got to get Dan out. And everyone was like, no, Frank. No, don't do it. And we saw how much Frank really came to appreciate that decision and think that it was the right one.
I think he still believes that to this day.
To this day, he was like, I'm so glad that I didn't take Dan Giesling out that week.
Because that's all he talks about ever.
We eventually
like, oh my
made
God,
such a great
decision.
Deal. And unfortunately, things didn't work out for me. But, you know, that guy, what a great guy.
Yeah, it absolutely did not bite him in the butt and create issues to this day. Definitely not.
This also reminds me of early Big Brother 20 when Tyler was like doing a lot of heavy lifting for the level six. And so like he was really working hard on Caitlyn. But then after Caitlyn was not in power anymore, he had to like flip over to work hard on other people. And then Caitlyn was like, hey, Tyler, what are you? Wait, hold on. And so that's kind of what the four is doing with Sheldon. Like, hey, Sheldon, where are you going? What are you doing?
How dare you compare those four people to Caitlin Herman? I take it back. Take it back. how dare you?
Yeah, well, so Michael's concerned about that, and he's getting a little bit worried, and so I would not be surprised if these four did not end up using the veto, and this whole Min fake out does not work.
Yeah, and it's interesting because at the start of the day they have conversations that are like, yeah, if any of us win, definitely use the veto no matter what. Min is going home, and then it slowly morphs over the course of the day to actually maybe we wouldn't use it. I also just love how much veto talk there has been before they even pick players.
I want to be clear though as well. I would also not be surprised if they do use it. Like if they win it, then everybody's going to be working hardcore to get them to use it, and not using it will be going against the house. So that might be something as well. But we have Chris and Sue talk a bit. There's more confirming of the plan. Chris tells Sue that it's, you know, it's you and Kyle and Vanessa. Like we're the team. We're the top tier. He also says, next closest guy, Sheldon. There you go.
Work.
Yeah. Sheldon's been putting in work all day and it seems to be paying off. At the start of the day, Chris was like, should I do Shelly? Should I do it? Should I do it? And now he's like, next closest guy, Sheldon. After
like,
Kyle.
Now he's like going to the final two with Sheldon. Should I do it? Should I do it?
We're going to do it.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. Rhi and Kyle have a conversation, they have some kind of close relationship. At one point, I think it was the night before, Rhi had come into a room just be like, Kyle, I just want you to know that I appreciate you so much and that I love you and that thank you so much. I don't know what their relationship is, but Kyle really appears to be like the, hey, are you an attractive woman in this house? I am your hug person that will comfort you and be your therapist. Don't worry. And I hope my wife doesn't mind. He literally says that.
I mean, as long as he's not like, I don't know. I don't know the boundaries in their relationship.
I don't mean to make it weird because Kyle's the one that makes it weird, right? Like hugging people is fine.
By saying, I hope my wife doesn't mind. Yeah, that's like, what makes it weird.
Is it weird? I hope my wife is not like thinking it's weird because it's not weird, but I don't know. She's watching and I feel weird sometimes that she's watching. And it's like, dude, you just made it real weird.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
He's from Cold Lake. People from Cold Lake are weird.
Okay.
I went to high school there. I'm allowed to say that.
But so, you know, Kyle's really like working on Henri here, dropping some massive hints about like there's a plan, and that he will be watching out for her. And that he's, you know, he's trying to reel her in here. And he's later going to talk to Brooke about it. He's like, I think we got to reel Rhi in. I think we got to bring her in. Got to look ahead. I know it's a risk. I know, but it's going to backfire on me if it doesn't work out. And Brooke's like, I'm on the fucking block, dude. But he's like, no, it's gonna be like, what? Your people are gonna vote Brooke out because Kyle tried to reel Rhi in? Like, no, come on. I'm just trying to look ahead here. And Brooke's like, I disagree.
And Brooke's like, no, I'm trying to look ahead here.
Brooke's like, I would prefer not to do that. This is again like an hour long conversation. At least it felt like any conversation between Brooke and Kyle just feels really long to me. It was a lot of Brooke trying to talk Kyle into not doing this, and Kyle trying to not listen to anything Brooke says and just continue to say, "But I am gonna do it, so I hope you're okay with that." Like, Pat.
I feel like Kyle will be in the DR like, yeah, I'm going to pull Riri in and hopefully it's okay with Brooke. Hopefully she doesn't react poorly.
I think I talked her through it. I think she's fine now. Brooke talked the night before, and we talked about this yesterday. She said to the cameras that she feels like she sees the lay of the land correctly, but that she doesn't have the goods to do anything about it. And I felt like this was a good example of that, right? Where she keeps trying to talk to people and get them to change their minds or do something, and she's consistently failing at it. Granted, it's mostly Kyle, and Kyle is Kyle, right? But she doesn't really. She isn't great at like changing minds yet right now.
Yeah. So it goes back to when she's talking about Chris and how she's so mad that logic doesn't work on Chris. She tries to appeal to people the way that she would want them to appeal to her, rather than putting herself in their shoes and being like, this is what is going to work for them. Like, it's like when Vanessa Russo is always talking about people's incentives, you have to think about that. And she's just not there yet. She's only thinking in terms of how she would listen.
Yeah. Now Kyle does later say to the cameras, as Tracy points out here in the chat, that he's like, I'm gonna do this Rhi thing, or this Rhi thing, but I hope it's not a mistake. I'm playing too fast, but like, so like, yes, he did hear what Brooke said, but it's not going to change his mind. He still plans on doing this. It's very concerning for Brooke, not only for this week, but for the future. She's going to talk to Shell about that a little bit later. But first, we have Jamar and Min having a conversation. Now, she is now going to confront him about his part in the Maddie thing. She says, you were there. You were instigating the whole time. And Jamar's just like, well, yeah, it was funny.
It's just,
of course.
He understood that it was a joke, obviously, because he thought it was funny.
Instigating, making them mad at each other was funny, I think.
He's a whole mess.
Yeah. So they talk about like, hey, we can't be going after each other. We need to be working together. And he's telling her, you need to win. You know, you need to win more than I do, right? Like, you have targets, people coming for you, people that you can put up. And then, of course, I'll win after you. I got you. I got you, boo. Don't worry about it. We know he has no plans on winning, but he is very much trying to convince everybody that he talks to, that he feels comfortable with, to win.
Yeah. And then she's like, no, you need to, like, look out for me. You need to try to win. Like, if we're working together, you need to be doing some of the work.
Yeah. He asks her, like, who would you put up? And she says again, like, well, Angie, you know, Maddie. And she said, well, if I'm telling you who I'm putting up, who are you putting up? And he's like, you know, the guys, like John Luke, Michael, you know, those kinds of guys. If one of them came off, maybe put like Rhee up there, and take out one of the guys. So they have a conversation here. It's still very, it's a very strange relationship though.
Yeah. And I don't think any of us will fully understand this dynamic.
They both would go for it, for sure, if given the opportunity.
I mean, I think that they did last night.
Like, that is the relationship, though. They both would go for it if given the opportunity, but I think they also dislike each other.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's really weird because in, like, a game context, they're not actually really that close at all.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, personally, they all only seem kind of close. But then physically, I think they're very close.
I think it's like the nature of Jamar's like eighth grade flirting, right? That like he's just so unbelievably forward that the option becomes like he takes the option of going for it. He places it on the table with like every woman he interacts with. And so regardless of whether they like each other or not, the option is there. And now they're tempted by the option because physically, whatever. Right.
Yeah. Very strange.
So Shell is going to come in and talk with Jamar a bit. They talk about their final two. They're going to make history, and that they're going to do well. Jamar gives Shell a heads up about Michael's suspicions, that Michael was talking about it. Shell was just like, got to fix that tomorrow.
He's like, okay, let me pull up my to-do list. Yeah. I'm going to shuffle that around and fix that.
They also talk about how, like, if this plan does go down, they are going to have to vote Michael out, which will kind of show their cards. And so what are they going to do about that? For now, they're kind of just planning on pretending they're still with him after he goes up. But they didn't get too far into that conversation. And it was mostly like it was kind of funny watching them talk game because Sheldon was like, all right, so what, like, we need to think about what we're going to do if Michael goes on the block. Right. And Jamar was like, what do you mean? We're going to vote him out. Of course, he's gone. I mean, you're not going to count the votes, right? Shell's like, no, we're going to vote him out. Right. We got the votes no matter what. But what do we say to him if, okay, so yeah, what do we say to him? Well, I mean, we just say we're with him the whole time. And then, okay. So yeah, I mean, we might say we're with him, but like, how do we explain why we voted him out? And Jamar's like, yeah, because he's a big threat. You think I'm going to vote out Brooke? You think I'm going to vote out Brooke over Michael? Like, of course not. And so, Sheldon was trying to have this conversation. I think Jamar was trying to explain his. I don't know. Jamar was not having a conversation.
I feel like they're having the same conversation, but on different planes. So then it doesn't really translate.
Yeah, like it's so funny. I really hope that they continue to like work together because there's such opposites in personality. Sheldon is so like cold and rational and thoughtful, and Jamar is the complete. He's like he's hot and brash and like, you know, when Sheldon hasn't really talked to the cameras, but I imagine if he did, he'd be like, all right, so here's what's happening. We got this person and this person. This is the plan to do this, and then we're gonna do this and then this. When Jamar talks to the cameras, it's, hey, a boy's gonna do this. Oh, I'm gonna win this thing. You can't stop me. We're gonna get lit. We're gonna get lit. Get me some lit booze, and I'm gonna get lit when it happens.
He's like, Canada will bring me back for All Stars.
Polar opposites.
Yeah, which is why it's fun. And so I hope that we get to continue to see this dynamic for a long time.
So Shell is also going to talk with Brooke a bit about Brooke is going to tell him about the Kyle thing and that Kyle wants to bring Rhi in, which is bad for them because they don't have a strong relationship with Rhi. Rhi is really popular with everybody but them. And so the Brooke really finds that to be threatening. This is, again, Brooke really thinking like far ahead. And Shell agrees with her. Like, yes, I agree with you. That's we don't want to let that happen. But nothing to really be done about it right now. We got to kind of bide our time. Like, let's kind of focus on things as they come a little bit more. And so I think that this is another interesting dynamic. Like, you have Brooke who self-identifies as ineffectual in terms of changing things in the game, thinking mm-hmm. far ahead and wanting, then bringing it to Shell, who she feels like is the best player in the game, who can affect things, and being like, can you do something about this? Because long term, this is bad for us. And Sheldon kind of being like, maybe not yet.
Yeah, he's like, I can, but it's not the time.
Right. So another interesting dynamic there. But what a crazy house this is.
Amazing.
We got so much going on here. This first week in particular, I think, is going to be pretty all over the place. But hopefully once we get the first real eviction vote, things will be a little more easy to understand in terms of we know where people actually lie.
Yeah, exactly. We need to see things get tested a little bit more before we can definitively say, like, okay, these are the alliances. This is what we're seeing. This is why people are doing things. Like, it's just going to take some time to really get there.
Yes. And then there was also Kyle continues to be a source of I guess controversy in the house here. Kirsten, yeah, I'm with you, Kirsten.
Why would you go on national television and tell everyone you weren't raised right? I just don't understand why.
So, I don't even know how to describe this, to be honest. Like, Kyle is talking with Jamar and Sheldon, and he is, like, really excited about the, like, vernacular that they use.
He's very excited about the way that they talk as, like, two men of color, the way that they communicate, and is,
he's like, every time
enraptured.
You talk about, like, your boy, or I don't remember what it was,
I can't,
like,
remember the specific phrasing that he said, but he was like,
I get so excited.
He's like, I love it so much, it's so great. And then he specifically, Kyle does not say the N-word in this scene, but he's very excited at the concept of seeing Jamar and Sheldon use the N-word together.
He asks Jamar if he's said that to Sheldon, and Jamar says, nah, like, we're not going to mess with that. We agreed that we're not going to mess with that. And Kyle's kind of like, oh, but would you? I really would love to, like,
I would love to hear you say it.
Yeah, it's just like,
and for what reason? It's just not good. It's really bad.
Yeah, again, it's kind of, I mean, it's just like, why are you making it so weird, dude? Like, constantly with every situation, you're making it so weird.
Yeah, it's very, very strange. And the full clip of that has been pulled and is on Twitter. So if people want to watch that back to get, like, the specific phrasing that he uses in a little bit, not even context, because there is no context for that conversation. But it the full clip is available on, I think, Reddit and Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh, messed up.
So what are you going to do? Anyway, anything else you wanted to bring up here, Kirsten?
Just that Jamar did give us a kiss at the end of the night. It was for all of the ladies, even the ones who are taken. So just everyone should be aware of that.
Yes, that camera talk where he was talking about getting lit. He also talked about being loyal to Sheldon.
It was for the ladies, okay? Even the ladies who were taken. He saw us at the mall, okay?
I really wish I could do Jamar's, like he has like a rhythm to his speech. Maybe if I listen to him enough, I'll get there.
I would advise against it. and I'm sorry for that. Guys, Karen's not okay. I don't know what we're gonna do the rest of the season.
All right. Well, that's I believe what we have for you.
I think that's it for the second day of feeds.
So thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'll be back, of course, tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 8 live feeds. I imagine that we'll get some kind of veto draw today, if not the veto competition as well. And could be interesting, depending on what happens.
I think that there's no way that it's not interesting, just with how many scenarios have already been discussed before they even get the draw. I think that once the draw happens, people are going to... This shit's gonna explode, in the words of Sue.
All right. So, it'll be interesting. We'll see what happens. We'll probably have a better idea of where the week is going to go by tomorrow morning. So make sure you tune in then. You can find me on Twitter at @ArmstrongTaryn. You can find Kirsten. Where can you find? Where tell us all the places that we can find you.
Okay, so on social media, I am at Kirsten Said What. That includes Twitch, twitch.tv/KirstenSaidWhat, where I play The Sims and Dream Daddy. Very exciting. And we'll talk some Big Brother. And then Mary Kwiatkowski and I are still talking Riverdale on KowskiCast. That is Cow with a K. And we had Pooya come to join us to talk about this week's episode. So highly recommend you check that out when it drops at some point in the next 2 days.
always great to hear from Pooya. All right, so thank you once again for joining us, and I will see you next time.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.